while the church is sleeping, the devil's doing all this. Jesus doesn't criticize this. You see, people sleep a good part of the time. 5 to 8 hours a night, usually. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing criticizable in that. It was while they slept. You see, what he's doing is he's identifying the place where Satan most likes to work. He most likes to work in the dark. He hates the light. He works in secrecy. He works stealthily. There is a deceitfulness. There is a complexity, a complication about him. He's always analyzing. Get us moving in that way. And there is a basic falsehood about him. He always works best in the dark. And any one of his children loves darkness better than light because his deeds are evil. And he refuses to come to the light lest his deeds may be reproved, that they are manifest from Satan. Now, that's his favorite time. But we see here also, secondly, the favorite tactic of the devil. The favorite technique by which he works. And that technique is twofold. First, he concentrates on the church. Now, do not miss that. He concentrates on the church. He came and sowed the tares. Now, what's the next phrase? Where did he sow the tares? Among the wheat. That's inside the church, in between the wheat. He concentrates on the church so that wherever you find Christ's name most in honor, you'll find Satan most desiring to bring shame on the name of Christ. He concentrates on the church. Now, upon whom does he concentrate inside the church? He concentrates upon the more spiritually inclined people, and especially the leadership inside the church, so that I do not mind telling you, my life is an absolute battleground between Satan and Christ. And it never lets up. I am in emergency all the time. There is never a minute when I am not in crisis. Never a minute. I either learn to live like that or I bail out. Now that's true of every Christian. But most do not know it because they are not engaged in what Jesus told them to be engaged in. You see, if he means anything by these parables, he means that for 2,000 years between the time of his ascension and his advent back to the earth to set up his millennial reign, there is going to be an emergency. We are in an emergency state all the time. That's what he's saying right here. Now, some people can't stand that. Too bad. Because that's exactly where we are. That's the reason he said, my flock is little, and few there be that find it. However many they may look like, when it's all over, the flock's going to be little, and few there will be that find it. Because most people do not like this, they do not want it, they cannot stand it. The pressure of the heat of themselves, they keep running back to themselves, analyzing things out of themselves instead of depending on Christ. And we have that option all the time. Because we're flesh and spirit. We're sinner and saved person, mixed into one. We're wheat and tares inside of one person. And everything depends on the choice we make day by day as to which way we'll go. He concentrates on the church. And his second tactic is to counterfeit the work of Christ. He never invents anything himself. He never originates anything. He always imitates. Somebody said the devil is God's ape. He just goes around aping Christ all the time, mimicking Christ all the time, counterfeiting Christ all the time. Now listen carefully to me. Jesus sowed the seed of his truth upon men's hearts. When that seed germinated within men's hearts, he then took those men and scattered them throughout the earth to reproduce himself in as many people as possible. All right, what did Satan do? He sowed his seed of evil principle in men's hearts. Wherever his seed of evil germinated, and it has a much better chance of germinating the seed of evil than the seed of good because men are inclined that way, they're sinners. But whenever it germinated, he took his children of the evil one and scattered them throughout the world to reproduce himself. You see, Satan is a counterfeit. He never originates anything himself. And he always works from inside. He works among the wheat. So the intensity of the battle is found in the church. And that's what this is all about. In this age in the church, there is a mixture. And it won't be resolved until Jesus comes back again. But be careful, because it's awfully hard to tell whether you're a wheat or a tare. And the only way you'll finally know is by the fruit that is being born in your life right now. That's the only way you'll finally know. Let's go on. The third thing here is the puzzle of the kingdom. There was a twofold puzzle. In verse 27, there was a puzzle over the mixture of the wheat and the tares. And you find this in every age. Note what it says. So the servants, that's another way you know whether or not you're a wheat or a tare. The word is bond slave. The servants of the householder. If you're a bond slave of the householder, there's no question about you being a shock of wheat. If you don't have any servant spirit, there is every question. The servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Let's pause a moment. What are they saying? Those who are interested, they're the only ones who ask this question. They say, what's going on here? We've got a whodunit mystery on our hands. This looks like the perfect crime. We've got a mixture, a mingling, and this is under the ministry of the greatest sower the world has ever known. This is what Paul called the mystery of iniquity, and it is already at work. Right in the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, there is another mystery, the penetrating, pervasive mixture of the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of sin. Why doesn't the sower come and root out the tares? Why does he let this go on all this time? This is the puzzle. It concerns the mixture. Why doesn't God do something? If he's so powerful, why doesn't he root up the tares, substantiate the wheat, and get it all done with? You see, that question is asked age after age. That's the reason it's important we know what Jesus said here. It'll not be a surprise or a perplexity to us if we listen. Now, the second puzzle is a puzzle concerning the method of dealing with the tares. And here's the gist of this parable. In verses 28 and 29, the sower, the Son of Man, said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? That looks so simple. Why don't we just go down the rows of the wheat and pull out the tares? Now listen carefully. But he said, No. Now the church has never listened to Jesus Christ at this point. In fact, many churches you go into are reforming agencies. They're fighting sin and trying to drag it out by the roots and burn it up and reform all the time. Jesus said, Forget it. That's not your worry. Stop fighting the tares. Let that be my concern. You be sure that you are planting the wheat. Go on sowing, go on sowing, go on sowing. Leave the tares alone. He said, Nay, do not touch the tares. And here's why. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now here's why he told them to leave the tares alone. Number one, because you can't tell the difference. They look exactly the same until the harvest is there. And you tell the difference in the fruit. You see, Judas looked like a shock of wheat while he was carrying the bag, the treasurer's bag, among the apostles. Simon Peter looked like a head of tares while he was denying Jesus, but they were neither what they looked like. You see, everything depends on what fruit is finally born and what relationship the individual has with the indwelling Christ as Lord of his life. You can't tell the difference. Another reason for not tearing up the tares is this. When you pull up the tares, the roots are all twined together. And you pull up a tare and you're going to damage a shock of wheat. Now here's what that means. Jesus Christ so intensely loves his own, he would rather have the tares to grow than one shock of wheat damaged. And that's very crucial. So important to see that. But here's another reason, and this is so precious to me today. Don't tear up the tares. Don't pull out the tares, because as long as there is a human tare among the human wheat, maybe the power of Christ in the wheat will leap over and the tare will become wheat. You see, that can't happen in a wheat field filled with tares, but it can happen in a church full of people. So don't go around tearing up the tares, because the chances are that if they listen and if they hear and there is enough power from the Holy Spirit, they will be translated from the one side to the other, and even the tares sown so indiscriminately by the enemy among the wheat will become wheat as they listen. So don't ever give up until I have rung down the curtain.